In recent years, we've seen a drop in the number of homeless people here in Michigan, but the problem for tens of thousands of men, women, and children is far from over in our state. The Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness monitors this population and recently held a huge drive to gather health and hygiene products for people who may not know where they'll sleep night to night. Joining us are two members, Jonathan Evans and Laurel Birchfield. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Laurel, we'll start with you. What do you do with the agency?
Well, we're a small nonprofit, so I do a little bit of everything, but we are focused on our HMIS count of those who experience homelessness in our state each year and the services that are provided. I tend to focus on our advocacy work. We focus on the national and state level on trying to advocate for policies and practices that will better serve those who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, and those service providers who aid those individuals.
Yeah, I am the AmeriCorps member. My official title is Outreach and Volunteer Coordinator AmeriCorps member, which means I am a resource for the 20-odd-some other members of my program, my AmeriCorps program. And so I am based at the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. And in addition to being a resource for volunteer information for my members, I am also in charge of keeping track of a grant called Project Homeless Connect, which helps to fund resource fairs for people at risk of or already experiencing homelessness all over the state.
How many homeless people in the latest count do we have both in Michigan and specifically here in the greater Lansing area?
So unfortunately, our data is delayed because it is a very, as I bet you can imagine, a very large set of data. So we have 2015 data that we're able to cite. Our 2016 report will be out in the next couple months. But in 2015, we had almost 70,000, around 69,000 individuals who were experiencing homelessness. We had another 30,000 who were at imminent risk of homelessness in our state. In the Lansing area, I can't give you specific numbers for Lansing, but for our general region, I can tell you there were about 6,000 who were experiencing homelessness during that year.
Tell me, you know, some of the different ways people are homeless.
Well, we follow a very specific definition of homelessness, which is just limited to those who do not have a shelter or, don't have their own housing. So that would be individuals who are on the street, individuals living in their car, those who are in shelters. And I do want to stress that these are not just individuals. These are families as well. But the broader definition, the broader sense of homelessness can also include those who are doubled up or are living in their friends' homes or surfing couches, essentially, as a means to have a shelter and have a roof over their head.
And particularly, you know, when we talk about young people who are homeless, I mean, that's pretty common.
Yes. Yeah, we are definitely seeing in 2015, about half of those who reported as homeless were families with young children. And there are also several unaccompanied youth. There are a lot of unaccompanied youth who are homeless in our state.
Can either of you speak to some of the reasons behind that, you know, especially with young people?
Housing instability is definitely an issue. A most recent report called Out of Reach shows that Michigan is not providing enough affordable housing for our families, for renters. You have to work much more than 40 hours a week at minimum wage to be able to afford a basic home in our state, a basic apartment. So the housing instability for families is very prevalent. For unaccompanied youth, we find trends, this is not just in our state, but nationally as well, with a high increase of LGBTQ youth who are experiencing homelessness for some of the social and cultural and familial reasons why they don't have a home.
So tell us a little bit about the drive. What did you collect and why did you, how did it come about?
Yeah, so my position, my AmeriCorps position, has a one-year turnover. So in the year before me, a person named Mariah held a hygiene drive that was local to Lansing, which raised menstruation hygiene products and other hygiene products. And I decided that for my signature service project, for my service year, that I would want to have a similar drive and expand it. So I worked with Taylor Musil, who is our leader corps member of our AmeriCorps program, and she's stationed in Grand Rapids at the Salvation Army over there. And she actually works directly with homeless populations. And together we organized a statewide hygiene product donation drive to benefit people at risk of or experiencing homelessness.
And why hygiene products as opposed to clothes and or some of the other things people tend to donate?
Yeah, a lot of donation drives focus on clothing and food, which are obviously essential. But our aim with our drive was two things. One, we really wanted to get the word out that people who are experiencing homelessness are not just missing clothes and food. They're missing a lot of things, and that hygiene products do a good job of creating a sense of security and safety. And so our other reasoning was we actually wanted to focus on menstruation hygiene products because these are products that are taxed and often get overlooked by people experiencing homelessness who don't have the means to purchase basic essentials like food and clothes and hygiene products.
And how many did you collect? And do you have a statewide count and versus here in the Lansing region?
Yeah. So statewide, we were able to collect over 86,000 hygiene products. And I will say that we decided to count individual tampons and individual pads as individual items because we believe that each one is important. And then in Lansing, if you combine Lansing and East Lansing, we were actually able to collect 15,361 products. And if you include St. John's as well, it goes up to almost 18,600 products.
How is it distributed?
The way we functioned is we reached out to different nonprofits, places who serve homeless populations around the state, and we asked them to host their own local drive as part of our statewide initiative. So those people who signed up with us as local facilitators held their own drive. We gave them marketing materials to promote it, and then everything they collected was distributed locally within their own city or region to different domestic violence shelters and homeless shelters who provide services to our population.
What does it mean for a teenager or a woman to have those hygiene products taken care of?
Having hygiene products is something that helps with the sense of dignity that a human being has. And if you don't have access to tampons or pads or other hygiene items, that your sense of self, your ability to stay clean and feel clean is diminished. And so the dignity that you are able to achieve through having these basic, simple products, it's immense, and it has such a huge impact on the day-to-day life of an individual, of someone who menstruates.
What drew the both of you to helping the homeless?
I have, as long as I can remember, had an interest in social issues. I think I get it from my mom, honestly, and just using empathy. And so when I saw that this AmeriCorps position at a statewide nonprofit was available, I immediately jumped on it because I knew I would enjoy it, and I do.
And for me, it's similar. I believe in social justice. I believe in equality. And I know that housing is a basic need that impacts every other aspect of our lives. If you don't have housing, you can't focus on school as a student. You can't focus on your job or searching for a job as an adult. As a senior or an elderly person, you can't focus on enjoying the aspects of your life that come towards the end of your life. We have over 100 individuals who die while homeless in our state each year. And so that knowledge that housing as just this basic right and the impact that it makes really drew me to trying to make a change. And advocating for change at our state and our federal level, I think, is really crucial during this time period when there are so many things that people are calling their members of Congress about, are trying to speak with their state representatives and senators. I just really feel that housing and the ability to have affordable housing in our state is a crucial thing that we need to talk about.
If you are listening to this interview and you're seeing the person on the side of the road, you know, holding the sign, or the person under the bridge sleeping, or know of a family living in their car, what can they do? What can I do?
Well, you can always give to that individual. There's nothing wrong with giving money to someone standing on a street corner. You can also, and this is a tactic that many social workers and service providers use, is recommend that person call 211. And that is a service that is statewide that will connect that individual to someone who can interview them and understand their situation and direct them to the right services. So I have met many, many people who have given their cell phone to someone standing on the corner and said, use this for the next 2 or 3 minutes and call 211 and get some assistance. And that's the best thing. If you are experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness, that's the best thing you can do is just call that number and get some help.
Right. And the other thing that I want to say is a lot of people who are homeless suffer from mental issues. And this is an often not talked about aspect of experiencing homelessness. So one of the best things you can do is to be a friend, to talk to someone. And they may ask you for money at first. And if you politely say no and have a conversation, oftentimes people respond positively. And it can make their month to have that social interaction that they may not be getting on the regular.
Well, thank you, Laurel Birchfield and Jonathan Evans with the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity.
For WKAR News, I'm Reginald Hardwick.